It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined, as always, by Gemma Kaneko.
What's up?
And from beautiful Austin, Texas, Christopher J. Landers.
Hello, you nailed the full initial. Well done.
I did? All right. I don't even know what your middle name is, but I'm glad that I got it right. So
you did.
Thank you, Jay. we have a ton to get to. Hey, Gemma.
What's up, Dakota?
When I talked to you last week, I don't know if you remember this or not, it was the regular season in Major League Baseball. It's no longer the regular season. That is past. That's past tense. We are now in the postseason. We are postseason.
Woo!
Are you excited?
I'm pretty excited.
I am beyond excited. I came into the office today. I was so excited. I was fired up. We had an incredible weekend where we finally found out the full field of all 10 teams. And I showed up ready to blog and all kind of pent up energy, and there are no games today. We're recording this on Monday.
No, it's good though, because I feel like the break is good because it gives you some time to like really get rested up for all the energy you're going to expend tomorrow.
I don't need exhales. I don't need rest. I am like ready to go, and I'm fired up, and I have a lot of energy that I need to work through before we get to the National League and American League divisions, wildcard games, which happen tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Again, we're recording this on Monday. So potentially by the time you heard this, there will already have been playoff baseball. I know. Unbelievable. But before we look forward to the postseason, we do need to take a second and look back at some moments from the past week that we really appreciated, specifically Vin Scully's final game. I feel like we need to at least briefly touch on that because he is great. Chris, did you get a chance to watch his final game doing broadcasting for the Dodgers?
I did indeed. I am not ashamed to admit that actual tears were shed.
Aww.
While I was working yesterday afternoon.
Well, that's wonderful, Chris. Yeah. I'm really happy.
His goodbye was pitch perfect in that it was all the things that we love about Vin. It was warm, it was humble, it was somehow both small and grandiose at the same time, and it was the exact way he should have gone out, and I'm glad I got to be there for it.
Yeah, me too. If it had to happen, I'm glad that it got to be like this way.
And it was so perfect for him. It was what he wanted. He saw that it would be the Dodgers and the Giants, and it was, you know, 8 years to the day of when he felt that he fell in love with baseball, with the team that he remembered seeing in the box score, you know?
Yeah.
How sweet is that? It's just so perfect.
I know. So yeah. This pod dedicated to Vin Scully.
Not that anything we ever say into a microphone will be worthy of him.
No,
still.
Of course not. And frankly, all of our actions on a day-to-day basis are dedicated to Vin Scully. This specifically is dedicated to him as well. He is great. Thank you, Vin. But, you know, while we're still focused on the end of the regular season, obviously 10 teams made it into the postseason. 20 teams came up just short, didn't quite make it. And so I felt like we needed to begin this pod by saying goodbye to those teams and wishing them a swell winter. We'll see you next year in 2017. I want to ask the two of you, which non-postseason team are you going to miss the most? Now, obviously, like, there were a lot to choose from because it's really hard to get into the playoffs, and no, you know, we're not ridiculing these teams for missing the playoffs. It should be noted. Like, it's really hard to make it. Yeah.
We're saying we're legitimately going to miss them because they were good and interesting and they just didn't make the cut this time.
And for some of them,
baseball's like a box of chocolates.
Yeah, exactly. And for some of these teams, we're never going to see them the same way again.
Right.
You know, there'll be free agent departures. There'll be trades. That's it. So which 2016 non-postseason team are you going to miss the most, Gemma?
I think it'd be easy to say the Tigers because they are my hometown team, and it was real close. As stressful as it was, I do like it when games mean something all the way up until the very last game of the season.
Right.
That's enjoyable. It makes it more fun to watch and engage with all the way up until the end. And I will miss the Tigers, but they're not the team I'm going to miss the most. Because I always have them in my heart. So they're really, it's fine. They're always there. Okay. But at the very beginning of the season, you can go back and listen to other old episodes if you want to, or you don't have to, whatever. You can take my word for it. But I said my second team this year was going to be the Mariners.
Yeah.
And they really did show a lot of potential this year. It was really exciting to watch this kind of like team sneak up in that division and almost make the wild card and also stay in contention for so long into the season. I think that team is also going to be a little bit different next year, and the energy that they have is going to change as well. So we'll see. I really kind of wanted them to be the sweetheart underdog team this year, and now I feel like that chance is evaporating a little bit.
Well, what's interesting, you say that the Mariners were your second team, mm-hmm. Your first team are the Tigers. My first team is the Red Sox. My second team is the Cubs. They're both still in it, and your
How
teams
convenient.
Are both out of it. I can't help but notice.
I mean,
maybe
it
there's
like
some
maybe
sort of a.
You're kind of like jumping on a bandwagon here.
I think the takeaway here is that Dakota is a frontrunner.
I'm pretty sure the takeaway is that Gemma is an enormous jinx. I'm pretty sure that's actually the takeaway that we should have.
I've lost control of my witchcraft. It's really a mess.
Yeah. Well, Chris, what do you? Who's your non-postseason team that you're gonna shed a tear when you think back on?
So my original answer was actually going to also be the Mariners.
Aww.
Oddly enough. Yeah, they were a lot of fun this year. They were scrappy. They punched above their weight. A lot for much of the season, they have Felix, which is always fun. Mm-hmm. They had Robinson Cano and Nelson Cruz hitting dingers. They had Edwin Diaz come out of nowhere to be
a resurgent Robinson Cano.
Yeah,
let's
very
be honest.
Resurgent.
And it was so
I was
good to see
the other
him.
Day. I think Robinson Cano and Nelson Cruz are the first Mariners to both hit 40, or they hit the most homers of any two Mariners teammates since A-Rod and Griffey in 99.
I heard those guys are good.
Yeah, which is not a bad company to keep. And I heard Edwin Diaz, who for my money was one of the best stories of the year. However, given that Joe just took the Mariners,
sorry.
I'm going to pivot, and it's okay. I'll forgive you. I'll pivot and say the Marlins.
Okay.
Because they were a team that I was sort of watching before the year because they showed flashes of being fun the last couple of years, especially that outfield with Stanton and Ozuna and Yelich. Mm. And this year, they were just a joy to watch every single day. They were the team who I would probably have on if I wasn't watching a Yankees game currently. Mm-hmm. You had Barry Bonds' hitting coach showing a joie de vivre that I did not know he previously had. The whole outfield came together and was a lot of fun. Giancarlo was hitting balls into previously uncharted territory.
Uncharted planets.
Yeah, he might have gone into low orbit. It's unconfirmed. And obviously, Jose Fernandez was his tragic passing, but he was, as always, a joy to watch. Mm-hmm. I think the Marlins were the team that gave me the most joy per capita, if you will,
Aww.
Of any of the non-playoff teams this year.
I am sad that my outlandish prediction did not come to pass, the Ichiro World Series Mariners-Marlins.
That's true, and I didn't even get the Ichiro, which just goes to show how deep the Marlins fun roster went.
Yeah, I agree, actually, about the Marlins, for sure. You know, that outfield is obviously incredible and will continue to be incredible. But certainly, I mean, Fernandez, we talked about it last week, but it's, you know, he was so much fun to watch. And so, yeah, for sure, I will miss the Marlins immensely. I had most of these teams down.
Well, considering that you are the worst and you've already said that your favorite teams are still in contention, what do you even have to say here?
Well,
are you just
going to
gloat for like 3 minutes?
He
what
doesn't
is your
acknowledge
option?
Non-winners.
There are a great many teams in Major League Baseball that I enjoy watching. Mm-hmm. You could say there were close to 30 that I enjoy watching
close,
on a day.
Close.
We're not going to name names.
Those will not be named.
Yeah, we're not going to name names. But the postseason teams are all obviously really fun to watch. But I will miss the Mariners, as both of you said, the Marlins, as both of you said. I was shocked that neither of you mentioned the Astros, who are another team that are fun to watch.
I do like the Astros.
That's true. The Astros are a lot of fun.
But two, one might surprise you, one may not. The one that might surprise you is the Rockies.
I was thinking about the Rockies. That's a good choice.
Secretly, one of the most fun teams in Major League Baseball this year. Nolan Arenado, obviously, is just incredible. Trevor Story was really fun when he was healthy this year. DJ LeMahieu, Charlie Blackmon, Cargo, and then, of course, our favorite ghost hunter John Gray.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm sad that I didn't pick this team because shout out to DJ LeMahieu, who is from the same part of Michigan that I am from, and we are close in age. So
newest National League batting champion, DJ LeMahieu.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So like that team was super fun, and if they can kind of get their pitching a little bit more sorted out, they could obviously be good. They're a little frustrated, I'm sure, because they're in a really difficult division.
Yeah.
But
they do have the arms coming up. I mean, they drafted Riley Pint, who looks good. Jonathan Gray really broke through this year. So I'm optimistic about the Rockies going
forward. And they're fun. And I just – maybe it's just that the there's a nip in the air and it's cold and I'm feeling ski season. But the Rockies, I really have like a lot of –
You just want to go to the series. In Denver.
I want to be in the Rocky Mountains right now.
It always looks so beautiful. It's on the top of my bucket list.
Yeah, for sure. So the Rockies, absolutely. But then the team I think ultimately I will miss the most, and for reasons that I think kind of get at all of this, is the Pirates.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, they've had some postseason success recently, mm-hmm. But it hasn't been overwhelming postseason success. Mm-hmm. And this year, to me, it kind of felt like the window on the Pirates being in the postseason may have closed. Uh-huh. And so you had Kutch had a really frustrating year. You have the Cubs turned into the Death Star. So it just seems, and even the Cards, you know, they had an off year and they very nearly made it.
Right.
And so it just seems like the Pirates may have kind of a struggle.
Yeah.
And so I will miss this iteration of the Pirates because I don't know if they'll be quite the same next year. I don't know. But those fans are great. Mm-hmm. The team, obviously, the personalities on the team are wonderful. So
yeah, and the ballpark alone.
Oh, gosh.
I totally agree with you. Also, I have a lot of friends that are Pirates fans, and we're like, I think the window has come close to being shut on the Rust Belt World Series, which would have been a Detroit-Pittsburgh World Series.
Yeah, well, yeah.
For both teams, it's
so I don't know. I don't want to make any grand proclamations about the Pirates' future.
There's some youth infusing that team. We'll see.
Former Yankees great Ivan Nova.
You know who else I'm gonna miss? Not a team, a specific person.
Who?
Joey Votto. I feel like just because Joey Votto is so great, he's just so delightful to watch, to listen to him give interviews, anything. I think that if the Reds don't make the postseason, he should just be allowed to pick a team and play for them just for the postseason.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I think that maybe what they should do is like somehow get rid of one of the wild card spots or add an additional wild card spot and have a team made up of the best players from all the teams that didn't make the postseason.
Yes.
And then that team can compete against all the postseason teams.
That would be so fun. What would it be called? What would they just be? Would they be like the
that's a really
the Monstars?
What's that movie with like Arnold Schwarzenegger and
The Expendables?
Yeah, they'd be the Expendables.
Yeah, there you go.
That would be my favorite team.
I'm so in on that. It would be so good.
Who wouldn't want to watch that team?
So who would start that wild card game for your Expendables team? Who would be the pitcher that you most want to see?
That's a really good question.
Would it be Ghost Hunter John Gray?
it could be Ghost Hunter John Gray.
I would love to see Felix pitch in the playoffs.
Yeah.
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 That would just, I mean, I know he's not quite
the
guy
it would
he used
be Justin
to be, but
Verlander.
Just like seeing him on a postseason mound would be worth it for me.
I know. I love Felix. I agree with you. I think, like, obviously you can make the argument for Verlander. You can make the argument for Tanaka, potentially.
Oh, yeah.
Verlander obviously has the experience to maybe go with him.
Well,
I don't know.
Because if it's a wild card game, then I think Verlander would start and Felix and
Chris
Tanaka
Sale.
Would, oh, Chris Sale,
another
they'd all be on the roster. Chris Sale would be a good option to start a wild card game, too.
I was more going narratively, but if you guys want to play actual baseball, that's fine.
We're playing actual baseball here.
We're going to make this real.
The Expendables is a real idea, Chris, and I do not appreciate you not taking it seriously.
I'm deeply sorry.
But you know what? Enough with the teams that did not make the postseason. Guys, we love you. We do, as evidenced by the past 10, 15 minutes of talking. But we'll see you next year. We'll see you in 2017. The time is now, and now is postseason. So we are going to focus on the teams that are still in it. There are 10 teams vying for the World Series championship. By the time you listen to this pod, there may only be 8.
Mm-hmm.
That is how high stakes things are right now. And so, Chris, you mentioned narrative. I want to talk about narrative for a second. All right. We all tend to think of our own. Maybe I'm letting you guys in on my life a little bit too much here, but I think everybody thinks of themselves as the star of their own movie. And I think every sports team thinks of themselves as the star of their own sports movie. And so my question to the two of you is, for which team would winning a World Series be the ultimate narrative conclusion? Would them lifting the commissioner's trophy in November be the just cherry on top of a perfect narrative season? I'm going to start by giving sort of the gimme here that you're all expecting from me. Mm-hmm. So I will say that first, which is David Ortiz in his final season winning a World Series. Like, that narratively makes a lot of sense, right? So, like, that's the kind of thing we're talking about. Which team would narratively, if you were writing the story, be the best to win? Chris, why don't we start with you?
So clearly, I mean, the obvious answers are both David Ortiz and obviously the Cubs, who are nursing the World Series drought. However, knowing that I'm assuming Dakota has a Cubs rant keyed up here in a second, I want to go with Cleveland.
Oh.
Both because this seems to be the year of Cleveland sports. The Cavs broke the championship drought. And also, I admire the extent to which Cleveland said, you know what, we're good this year, we're going to go all in. They gave up a bunch of prospects to get Andrew Miller, to kind of fill out that roster. They tried to get Jonathan Lucroy, even though that fell through. And also, they've suffered a lot of injuries recently, which has really sort of dampened, I think, their prospects around the league. But I think it would be really fun to see this team, despite losing Salazar and Carrasco, to kind of reward their go-for-it mentality and I think they have their own World Series. I think it was 1948 the last time they won one. So I think it'd be fun to give Cleveland two titles in a year to make up for lost time. And the Indians are going to be my sort of second team of choice in the postseason.
See, the thing with that is, because I think almost every team you could just write into a sports narrative, right? The Cubs win, they break this curse. David Ortiz has this beautiful final season moment. The Dodgers finally make it to the World Series after appearing in the postseason year after year after year and never making it quite far enough. You know, the Mets come back. They didn't win it last year, but they're going to win it this year. I think you can put them all in, and they all kind of come off as heroes. But I think that the Indians are just, like, the less fun sequel to the Cavs.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about that, which is not because Cleveland's baseball team isn't as good or as interesting. It's just, like, all that energy, that, like, feeling, it happened, and it's going to be really hard to get it back to that same fever pitch just because it kind of already happened this year. And I like Cleveland's team. I think they're a fun team, but that, to me, is not the most narratively satisfying.
Yeah, I think it would depend how it happens.
Yeah.
For example, a lot of people forget this, but the Cavs came back from down 3-1 in that series. And they did it against the unanimous MVP of the league, Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, if the Indians were able to do it in a similarly remarkable way against a similarly dominant team to the Warriors, say, for example, the Chicago Cubs.
I would think that would make Cleveland the villain then, though, because the Cubs are clearly
the
character in that story that you want to see win. And then and it's like Cleveland already won the championship, so now what? They're like the kids from the rich gym? Like, that's what that becomes.
Well, but this gets to the heart, I think, of the Cubs, right? Is on one hand, they haven't been to the World Series since World War II.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, they are far and away the best team in baseball and, like, won at an embarrassingly great clip and should win the World Series, except for the fact that the postseason is random to a certain extent.
Right,
and, like,
right.
And so, like, it's one of those things that can you simultaneously be the underdog because of 100 years of history while also being the favorite?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the tension at play with the Cubs. So I don't know. Maybe the Indians would be or at least Cleveland, the city, would be the mean successful team. I don't know.
I see what you're saying, but I think the weight of the 1908 date looming is enough to overpower how good, like, the Cubs' Death Star has been formed the last couple of years.
Yeah,
I think once they get a World Series, that might change. But as of now, I think people just really want to see the Cubs get one.
I do.
I mean, but here's my thing with that. I do think it would be extremely narratively satisfying to see the Cubs win the World Series, right? But I also feel like then maybe life and the universe as we know would just end, because actually we've all just been living in like a Truman Show-esque sports movie this entire time. And once the Cubs win, it'll just be over and that'll be it.
I don't like you attempting to delegitimize the Cubs victory this way. I think that that is offensive and insulting.
I'm just saying that there's so much. I'm just keeping an open mind about it, okay?
Asking the big questions.
Yeah, just asking questions. That there's this whole long time, this whole period, just building up and building up tension. And when it's done, I mean, that's the end of the book. That's the last page.
Well, it is.
Credits roll,
okay.
Man.
Not to like go totally off on this tangent about the Cubs, but like this is kind of the one thing, right?
Yeah.
That is left in sports. Like the Red Sox, they broke their curse. The White Sox broke their curse. Cleveland broke its curse. This is kind of it. Maybe Detroit, potentially.
I mean,
maybe. But like,
I mean, Detroit has other sports championships, though. And also
the Red Wings.
And also the Tigers last won a World Series in the 80s, so it's not that long ago.
Right, you know? And the Pistons. So yeah, like,
and yeah.
This is kind of it for sports curses and sort of these like long droughts. And so it's going to be, it's one of those things that like once it's done, we have to recalibrate how we feel and think about sports in general.
Well, I guess then there are the other teams that we have to start legitimizing because some of them are expansion teams, etc.
Right. Yeah, like how there are long a lot of fan bases who are looking at you side eyes about
who just like haven't appeared in a World Series, and like in 30 years, then it will be significant.
Right.
You know, if the Mariners somehow still don't get there 30
years.
I was
gonna say, Seattle's still looking for it. You know, yeah. The Seahawks, obviously, but.
Yeah, but the Cubs still, I mean, what does that mean? They've been in Wrigley for 100 years, and Wrigley has never seen a World Series win. So, like, it's just one of those things that's just kind of shocking.
It would be really cool. But then, like we were discussing this outside of the podcast earlier, but there's certain emotional highs in your life that you realize you can never get again.
Yeah.
You know, my personal excitement about the 7th Harry Potter book. I will never care about anything again in my life as much as I care about that. And, like, I want Cubs fans to have that, but I also don't want them to be crushed when they realize nothing will ever be that good again.
Right. I mean, if you're a Cubs fan, you know, the celebration wears off. And then what? You know, then what do you do? This thing that's been so central to your identity is that, you know, you're now Chicago Cubs World Series champion.
Look, I'm going to tell you both this. Spoiler alert. They will trade that away instantaneously if it means. Sorry, I'm so fired up. I'm hitting the microphone here. They would trade that away instantaneously for a World Series championship.
Can I tell you though, who I think the villains are in all the stories?
Please,
the Giants.
The Giants.
Nobody wants to see the Giants win another World Series, even though the even year magic is interesting. It would, of course, then become like
it's
evil
spooky.
Magic.
Well,
because like you gotta let someone else have a chance.
I'm grateful for the Giants because you love to root against them, and I think baseball needs that. So I'm grateful that they exist, but I will, you know, they're definitely the villains of this postseason story.
I don't think that they are villains. First of all, second of all, if they win again, it is three times is weird.
Yeah,
four times is beyond weird into like the cosmic strangeness.
Yes.
If they win four even years in a row, so I part of me wants them to win, because like it wouldn't just be narratively satisfying, it would also be like existentially satisifying, which operates on a
actually,
whole other level.
Not totally villains yet, but this is like the villain origin story. Like so if they win every even year for like the next 40 years, then teams would be like, oh, we have to break the evil curse of the Giants. It'll be like a Sleeping Beauty situation.
I don't think any team this year is evil. I will make that proclamation right now. I don't think any of these teams are evil. Even the traditional evil teams, the Yankees, the Cardinals, neither are involved. Mm-hmm. Most of the teams involved are pretty likable universally. I'd say maybe the Red Sox are villains, although
the David Ortiz thing is really just like
Ortiz
and all
the young players
Ortiz would be different.
Are really exciting.
And who doesn't like Mookie Betts?
I'm gonna stump a little bit here for the Mets, mm-hmm. because if we're talking narratives,
yeah,
getting to the World Series, losing, coming back again and getting to the World Series and winning on the 30th anniversary of the 1986 Mets. That's a tough one to tell.
And in a season where so much has gone wrong. I mean, no David Wright, no Jacob DeGrom, no Matt Harvey.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty magical. I mean, that is truly like a sports movie.
Yeah.
So many obstacles.
You start with
and Bartolo. Don't you want to see the parade with Bartolo?
Oh, Bartolo is the lead of the movie.
Who doesn't want to see a parade? Yeah, it's true. Him hitting a home run and then they get to the World Series.
Charles, literary reference, get ready for it. At the beginning of David Copperfield, one of the quotes is like, "Whether I shall be the hero of my own life." You know, he wants to know if he's the main character in his own story. You said we all think of ourselves as the star of our own movies, but really, we should all acknowledge that Bartolo is the star of the movie that we're all in together.
Well, yeah,
that's true.
Obviously.
He is the sun around which we all live.
Yeah, I mean, that became clear the moment he hit that home run.
Yes.
Okay, let's move on. I think what we figured out is that most of these teams we could construct a pretty satisfying narrative for.
Yeah.
Which, again, yet another reason to be fired up for the postseason like I am. And I can't wait for it to become, like, real rather than just hypothetical today on Monday. But let us move on here to looking even farther forward toward the rest of the postseason. I want the two of you, and you know what? Doggone, I will offer one myself. I want you guys to give me a prediction that will absolutely come true of something that will happen this postseason. Christopher, I'm going to pick on you again. Why don't you give me your prediction of something that will absolutely happen?
I'm not saying that I want this to happen, but there is a nagging feeling in my gut that it's going to happen, and that's that Madison Bumgarner will come to Wrigley in Game 5 of the NLDS and pitch a complete game shutout to send the Giants on and eliminate the Cubs.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's very specific.
He just feels like a big bat, doesn't he? Like, whenever you see him in October, it's just like this immovable object.
He is, maybe he's the villain, just not the Giants, but specifically Mad.
No, I was talking to my friend who is a Mets fan about this, and this was before it was decided who would be playing the Mets in the wild card game. He's like, I would rather have the Cardinals because you know they're going to send Mad Bum out there and he's just going to lay waste, you know, to Citi Field.
Yeah, I mean, when's the last time he was anything less than utterly spectacular in the postseason?
It's true.
I can't remember an even average start from him.
Well, he's like been he's been really good in the regular season, and he's been way better in the postseason.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously, people tend to compare him to Kershaw, who has had the opposite experience, which, as a Kershaw fan myself, really frustrates me. So yes. I do think that maybe he's the villain. Interesting.
He's definitely like, if this was actually a fairy tale or something, he would be the bad guy, and then 10 years from there now they would do a reboot from his point of view and you'd be like, he was just too good for anyone to understand.
He's a fellow North Carolinian. Yeah. I have to defend him.
Maleficent, but Madison Bumgarner. It would be like that.
I like that one, Chris. Gemma, what do you got? Give me a prediction.
I did not really take this that seriously. I should let you know. I did not come up with
you're fired. So I hope you enjoy the final Cub forecast that you will ever appear on.
Well, I did not come up with a terrifying prediction for the Cubs to be eliminated.
Okay.
Because that makes me sad. But this is a prediction that I think will absolutely come true, and I think it's because we deserve it. As humans who enjoy baseball, I think that the Blue Jays will win the wild card game.
Yes.
The American League wild card game, and they will face the Rangers.
We do deserve that.
And this time, someone on the Rangers will bat flip.
Of course.
And it will be heroic and incredible, and no one will know how to react to it, because if you liked the Joey Bats bat flip, how are you going to fight that Elvis Andrus bat flip?
That's true.
What are you going to do?
If you're one of those Blue Jays fans who's been defending Joey Bats,
what are you
going
to do?
Year?
Get mad at Rougned Odor? No, you can't. And I can't wait. I want to see all
of that.
Who
do you think is the best candidate to have the righteous bat flip on the Rangers?
Beltre.
I hope it's Beltre.
Beltre or Odor?
I hope
Beltre
it's
will go down on one knee, first of all, as he always does.
And a bat drop. Homer from the knee, stand up, drop it.
Yep.
Walk around the bases.
Think of it, because what's the one thing that would anger the Blue Jays more than anything? It would be him doing it from his knee. Yeah, I agree. No offense to the Orioles, who love.
And if the Orioles happen to win, I'll also enjoy that because I like them.
But it's true. We deserve a rematch of the Rangers and the Blue Jays. I'm going to run down a whole list here.
Oh.
I got a whole list. First of all...
He was like, I'm going to make one prediction only. Got a whole list.
I got a whole list. Well, some of them are more interesting than others. For example, the first one, I will cry at least once. That will happen. So just that warning all of you. And frankly, that doesn't even take the Red Sox into account. So I will cry at least once. A team will adopt a silly motto / nickname.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, I don't know what it would be, but something like, you know... We're the boys from Texas. Not that.
No.
This is why I'm a podcaster.
You're fired.
And
now,
not
there
a
will, the cut forecast is over. We're both fired.
We're both fired.
Terrible.
But then, like, the, you know, they come up with like little nicknames and catchphrases and slogans. Like, yeah, that will happen for at least one team, and they'll enjoy it. And then here's one. Even if the Blue Jays are eliminated in the wild card round, mm-hmm, the winning team, the team that lifts the World Series, Drake will claim to have cheered for them all year.
I feel like this is like Hollywood medium style predictions,
yeah,
here.
Really.
Look, that one just, we all know that's going to happen. Yeah, I said Blue Jays Rangers, the benches will clear if, mm-hmm, if that happens. A-Rod will again showcase his talents as one of MLB's premier broadcasters.
They announced that already, right?
Yes, yeah, they announced,
yeah,
that will happen.
Back.
But I am just pointing out that he will be brilliant again, as he is at, he, like, this is one of those things that, like, I think we all were not really sure what to expect the first time they did broadcaster A-Rod, and it turned out that he had like one of the more nuanced appreciations of the game,
yeah,
that like any of these talking heads
have. He was
have.
Really good.
He was great. So once again, A-Rod will have a Hall of Fame level baseball,
oh,
broadcast performance. And lastly, this one is probably the most specific, and this is related to Chris's.
Mm-hmm.
If the Cubs don't make the World Series, it will be, in part, because of a weird, memorable thing that instantaneously everyone will be like, that was the curse. And we'll know it in the moment. Like I'm talking like, oof, Steve Bartman level, like, this is going to be a famous baseball moment for all time.
A goat will literally run out of the ivy.
Yes, essentially.
And knock over Chris Bryant.
Will walk a goat onto the field.
It could be. Or like the Black Cat game. Mm-hmm. It, like, it's going to be something that level where everyone is totally like, oh my gosh, this is insanity. Maybe it'll happen on Halloween. Who knows?
Who?
All I know is that if the Cubs are prevented from World Series glory, we will all know the exact moment why. I take your silence as a stunned agreement.
I will co-sign those. I'm a little disconcerted at the Drake roast that happens, but I'll co-sign those.
Look, you know it's true. Come on.
Look, it depends on the team.
It doesn't matter what.
Yes,
I think
does.
Even Drake has a code.
I think that Drake would support.
Drake has a code? Really? When Kentucky won the NCAA basketball tournament and they asked him how long he'd cheered for them, he said always.
Look, that's, it's clearly based on teams where Drake sees somebody he wants to hang out with, so I feel
exactly
like he's gonna pick those based on who he thinks he just would be fun to chill with,
which is every
and
every.
I also think
Drake just wants to get along,
and Drake will go with the Cubs because he appreciates narrative. I don't know if the Rangers kept going if he would do that to Toronto.
Of course.
I don't think he would.
Come on.
I don't think so.
Come on. This, you guys, I can't believe you guys are defending Drake. this is your worst take of the
entire
pod.
Going back for Drake Sports Town.
It's time to sum up the podcast into 140 characters, one tweet that accurately and adequately condenses our podcast into one bite-sized chunk. Before we get to that, Jim, I'm gonna have you go first.
Okay.
But I'm gonna give you a minute to think about it, because first we need to give a shout out to @StephenFloyd, who made an incredible photoshopped version of Bon Appetit magazine.
It was so good.
Featuring Adam Jones as the cover model advertising Baltimore Chopped. It's amazing. We shared it on our Twitter account. Check that out. Thank you to Stephen Floyd for that amazing work. Gemma, what do you got summing up our cut forecast?
Okay, it's a poll. It's a Twitter poll.
Okay.
And it would be, it's a hashtag cut forecast poll. Who is the real villain of the hashtag postseason? And then it's, you can vote between Madison Bumgarner and postseason medium Dakota Gardner.
Whatever. You're just a hater. You're just a hater for my gift. People told me when I was a kid, they said, Dakota, you have a gift, and one day people will hate you for it. And I didn't understand what they meant until now. Chris, What do you got? What's your tweet?
I don't know how to top that. Let's see.
Would you vote for Dakota in my poll, Chris?
I would gladly. Multiple
Thanks,
times
Chris.
If I could. I would create Twitter accounts multiple times.
Chris is just gonna make a bunch of eggs so they can vote for you.
You guys are terrible. What do you got, Chris? Give me your tweet.
You brought this on yourself. All right, let's see. We'll miss you, Mariners, but it's time for the postseason now. Hashtag Year of Cleveland, hashtag watch out for Mad Bum.
I like that.
I feel like watch out for Mad Bum should be the Giants slogan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, look.
That would be a good, fun slogan.
One. It wasn't my lame slogan, yeah, but no. We eventually created one.
That's kind of good.
Okay, mine. Who will have the best postseason? So similar. I'm going to do a poll, too. Who will have the best postseason? The Cubs, the Red Sox, curses, Hall of Fame broadcaster Alex Rodriguez. That's my poll.
That's a good poll.
Is Drake the last option?
Drake should be.
Oh, yeah, Drake. Drake.
No matter
can be
what, Drake
poll
will have the best
postseason. Yeah, no matter what, according to your logic.
Well,
no
yeah,
because
his favorite team will win the World Series. Yeah. Doesn't matter what team it is.
I'm going to vote for A-Rod in the poll.
You should all vote for A-Rod. Hashtag I'm with A-Rod. If you have a tweet that more accurately sums up our podcast into 140 characters, or if you have incredible Photoshop work,
please
tweet it at us at CutForward with the hashtag CutForcast. We will retweet the best ones, like the slightly less good ones, and I will personally mock the ones that I think are terrible, which
they're
I don't really
good,
have room
though.
To do. And they've all been good.
Yeah.
So. If you go to iTunes, you can subscribe to the CutForcast there. And while you are there, you can write us a review, leave us a rating, 1 to 5 stars. If you actually take time to type out using your fingers on your laptop or your thumbs on your phone, we will read that review on this CutForcast.
Specifically, I would actually request that you do it voice to text so that we can read all the weird typos.
Yeah, it's true. I greatly enjoy reading typos. It's a pleasure of mine. For example, in my podcast here, I actually wrote resurgent Kano instead of resurgent Kano.
Word.
So, you know, you can all ridicule me for that. Yeah. So the
vote for Dakota in the poll.
You can also go to MLB.com/cut4 and read all of the stuff that we write all season long and, yes, all off season long as well, too. I know. It's almost that time. We really shouldn't even speak of it. You can also follow us on Twitter at cut4. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/cut4. Christopher, thank you for flying on the CutFour blimp all the way from beautiful, sunny Austin, Texas to cold, rainy New York City.
Next time, just will be in first class.
And still calling in from the blimp.
And still calling in from the blimp, which seems like really an odd use of technology.
Haters say it's not as efficient, but you know, when you're in the blimp, it doesn't really matter.
It's true. Well, it moves so slowly, you didn't quite get here in time. That's our fault for sending the blimp.
Yeah, I'll be there in 5 hours.
Good. Gemma, as always, thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome.
What a cordial day for us.
It was a cordial day, but mostly thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.